Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know today God's Word will encourage your heart. I invite you to stay tuned, and let's just see what God's Word is going to tell us today. But first, I want to pray for you. Lord, I know there are many people under the sound of my voice today that God have many needs in their lives. I know there are those that are sick and those that are heart sick and physically sick, financially sick. Lord, those that have children and grandchildren that are doing wrong and caught up in drugs and all kind of addictions. But Lord, you are still God. You're God that hears and delivers, and I ask that you reach down and by faith help the congregation to reach out and touch you. And Lord, receive their answer to their prayers today. Father God, I pray if there be one under the sound of my voice that is not born again, that I ask that you deal with them in your own special way. And let them know, God, that they must be born again. And that the only way into you, God the Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray today, Lord, that you reach down and pray. I pray, oh God, we pray for our country, our nation, that God, you please reach down and bring revival to America. And we thank you for hearing and answered prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, that's what I want to talk about is prayer. You know, when we pray, that James chapter 5 tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when we pray that fervent prayer, that prayer that's sincere, it's gonna cause much to happen. And when we pray in faith, we need to believe and then we receive. We're told to pray in Jesus' name. And then we're told that God's house is to be called a house of prayer. So that means that when we go into church, we need to pray. It makes my heart sad that when I see churches that can have dinners and plays and singings, and then all that's good in its place. But when it has prayer meeting time, nobody wants to show up. But the other times they fill the house up. We need to get, as our friend wrote that song, you need to get back to church. You need to get on your knees and pray. And that's a remedy for America. That's a remedy for your home. That's a remedy for your health. That's a remedy for whatever's wrong in your life. You need to get back to church and hear the word of God. You need to get out on your knees, humble yourself before God, and you need to pray. And when we do that, we're going to see things happen. And then we know that Jesus, when he went to pray, one time he went to a solitary place to pray. One time he went into the mountains to pray. One time he went in the wilderness to pray. He prayed alone. He prayed in the garden. He prayed when he fed the multitude. He prayed on the cross. He prayed at the graveyard. And let me tell you, that just lets us know that no matter where we go, we need to know how to pray. Because God will hear you if you're in the wilderness. God will hear you if you're in the mountain. God will hear you if you're in the valley. God will hear you if you're in the hospital room. God will hear you if you're by the graveyard. No matter where you're at, when you learn how to pray, things will change. Your life will turn around. Because let me tell you, when you pray, there's power in prayer. When you pray, you get in the presence of God. And when you pray, you find out the purpose for your life. And when you pray, you come under the provisions of God. And when you pray, you come under the protection of God. And when you pray, you're promoted by God. And when you pray the prayer of repentance, you come under forgiveness and redemption. And when you learn how to pray, nobody's going to have to beg you to praise. When you learn how to pray, there won't be a team that has to prompt you to get up and praise, because you're going to praise God knowing that he hears and answered prayer. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 11, he gives us the Lord's Prayer and he tells us how to pray. We're told that we need to believe, and then we're told that we need to forgive others, because unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. We're told to pray, watch and pray, and that we wouldn't enter into temptation. And we're to pray with thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times we'll get out on our knees and we'll ask God for all kind of things, and we'll pray and ask him for this and that, and we get up and we never thank him. Never thank him for what he's already done. Never thank him for what he's doing. And never thank him for what he's going to do. God's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word states that about him, that he is the same. He's not going to change. And we need to realize that we need to pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't quit praying, but keep praying. And for to pray for those that despitefully misuse you, pray for them and ask God to deal with them in His way. And don't come to their level. You pray on your level according to God's word, and God will deal with those who despitefully misuse you. And then we're told to pray in the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we don't know what to say, but the Spirit of God will make intercession for you and for me. And in Proverbs 15:8, we're told that the prayer of the upright is the delight of the Lord. And in verse 29 of that same chapter, we hear, it says, the Lord heareth the prayers of the righteous, of the ones that are walking uprightly before Him. So we know there's a lot of scriptures, a lot of things about prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, which we call it God's telephone number. He said, if you'll call upon me, I will hear you and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. I don't know about you, but I'm in a time in this land and in this country and the things that I'm seeing, I know that nothing but the power of God and nothing but the hand of God and nothing but the great and mighty things of God are going to bring us through of what we're getting ready to face and we are facing in our country. We're in a time now we need to do like 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says that if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, He said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. If ever there was a time we prayed, we need to pray now. The other night, my grandson and myself, we went to a youth meeting and a young man stood up and preached. Oh, he preached for a solid hour and he gave us nothing but the word of God. He preached his heart out. He preached on praying and living holy, and he gave you word and he pounded you with the word, and he spoke about not seeking promotion, but seeking God. And when you sought God, promotion's going to come. We got to know that we got to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means seek His kingdom and the right way of living. And then all the rest of this stuff is going to be added unto us. But we're always seeking the stuff and not seeking God's righteousness. We need to get in God's will. He's not going to get in our will. We need to get in His will. And when we're in His will, all of our needs are going to be met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Today, I'm talking about praying. Today, I'm talking about stopping what you're doing and asking God to help you, asking God to forgive you of your sins, asking God to bring your children back home, asking God to save your husband. Honey, you can't change him, but Jesus can. Asking God to save your wife. You can't change her, but Jesus can. Asking God to save your children. You can't change them, but Jesus can. Let me tell you something about your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Let me tell you something. If he could go to that graveyard and he could call out a man named Legion who was vexed with many devils, didn't even wear clothes and was suicidal, and no man could tame him. If a little talk with Jesus could set him up straight and clothe him and get him in his right mind, I tell you, a little talk with Jesus will do the same thing for your children and mine, our relatives, our boss men. It makes no difference. We're going the wrong way. We try to change it all ourselves and get people to conform to our ways, but let me, when you pray, God can turn the tide in the twinkling of an eye. If you're incarcerated today, I'm telling you, if you'll pray, God can open up those doors. God can make it easier on you. God can turn the tide for you, but you gotta get down and you gotta pray. There's no shortcuts. We want instant everything today, but you gotta pray. You got to learn to pray. And in Acts chapter 12, I want to read the scripture to you, and I want you to hear what the scripture has to say. And about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him into 4 quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now this portion of scripture, it said that the king this time, that he stretched forth his hand to vex certain other church. And let me tell you, that same thing is happening in our time today. The leaders of our country are stretching forth their hands to vex certain ones of the church. But let me explain something to you. The ones they trying to come against are the ones got the Holy Ghost power in their life and believe in God to live right and to preach the whole truth and not water it down and compromise it. They're not compromising the Word of God. They're standing on the Word of God. And the leaders of our country, just like in this time, are stretching forth their hands to vex the church. But let me tell you, the same thing that worked in this scripture that I'm going to read to you is going to work today. Somebody was praying. Somebody was getting hold to God. When the evil ones were trying to vex the church, somebody was praying. I want you to hear what the rest of the scripture says. It says that when he saw that it pleased the people, he killed James, the brother of John. And when he saw that it pleased the people, he went after Peter. Let me tell you, there was political correctness in that day. This king wanted to please the people, and he saw that persecuting Christians pleased the people, and he went after the Christians. What's happening today? Same old, same old. We don't have a different devil than they had in biblical days. We got the same old devil, same old tactics. He thinks by vexing the church and vexing God's people that is going to shut them down. But I'm telling you, God's people got a weapon that no devil in hell and no evil leader and no politician, no matter what kind of laws they try to pass, will ever come against. And that power we have is the power of prayer. Because when we pray, God will roll back the Red Seas. When we pray, God will roll back the Jordans. When we pray, the walls of Jericho will fall down. When we pray, the flames won't hurt us. When we pray, the lion's den will have no effect on us. When we pray, God will turn the tide and make things straight, and he'll show us the right road to go. When we pray, our dead will be given back. When we pray, oh, God will hear the prayer of faith and save the sick and heal them and raise them up. When we pray, God will send the rain. When we pray, God will withhold the rain. When we pray, God will give us visions and dreams. I'm telling you, we need to learn. We need to get out and we need to pray. And that's what happened in this time. And verse 5 in this chapter 12 of Acts says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. And I want you to hear this part right here. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, when they put him in prison. And let me tell you something. They just didn't put him in there for a little out time or a little time of a correction. They put him in there with the intent to bring him out and kill him. Just like they had before. Just like they killed James. They were getting ready to kill Peter. And that was the plot of the enemy. But it says the church prayed. The church prayed without ceasing. Let me tell you, you say, well, why wasn't James... Why wasn't he spared? The Bible says that some receive deliverance and some do not, expecting a greater reward, a martyr's crown. And let me tell you something, whether they kill us or whether we're released alive, it's just one way or the other we're going to be blessed if we lose our life for the cause of Christ. And let me tell you something, while you sitting up in your bedroom debating on whether you want to go to church or not, and whether you're riding around in your big nice car that God has blessed you with and your belly's full. There's Christians across this world right now dying for their faith. They're watching their children being killed. They're losing their possessions. Their women are being raped and tortured. The churches are being burned. And we in America can't even get ourselves out of bed and go down to church two blocks down the road and thank God for what he's given us. Woe unto you. You better get yourself up. You better learn how to pray. And one of the first prayers we need to pray is a prayer of repentance, because let me tell you, don't think just because it's happening in other countries, it's not going to happen in America. It's coming day by day. They're persecuting Christians. We're losing our rights day by day. But if you don't stand up now and you don't learn how to pray, you're going to be overwhelmed and overtaken by the evil ones. I beg of you today, get out on your knees. Get back to church. Get on your knees and pray, and God will turn the tide in your life. Turn the tide in our country.
And it said, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night was Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. I like that. Even though Peter knew his life was in danger, it didn't keep him up all night. He didn't stay up all night in the prison singing, "Woe is me, what am I going to do?" He fell asleep in the peace of God. And let me tell you, when people pray, you can fall asleep even if you chain to somebody that's wanting to do you harm. When you chain to somebody that's wanting to hurt you, when you chain to something that's wanting to kill you, you can lay down and sleep like a baby, because you know no matter what happens, you're a winner either way. You're a winner if you get set free, and you're a winner if you go to heaven. It's just goodbye world, hello Jesus. And let me tell you, you can't get that peace out of a bottle. You can't get that peace from drugs. You can't get that peace by doing evil. The only way you can have the peace is when you go to the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus. I'm talking to some of you, you've tried everything, and all you're doing is spending more money, getting more depressed, your health is failing, and you're tired of your family and your home. But if you'll try Jesus, if you call on him, you'll see a change in your life, and he'll bring peace into your life. And it says here that he was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keeper of the door kept the prison. They didn't want him to get out. They had him chained up. They had the doors locked. They had this one and that one watching. But let me tell you, honey, when God gets ready to deliver you, I don't care how many chains they've tried to put on you. I don't care how many doors flying behind you. I don't care who's guarding you. When God gets ready to set you free, you coming out. I want you to know you're coming out. That's a word to somebody that's listening today. You looking at the chains, and you looking at the doors, and you looking at the guards, and you need to be looking at the one that can deliver you, and his name is Jesus. And you need to know how to pray. And when he gets ready to get you out of bondage, he got a whole nation out of bondage in Egypt. Don't you think he can't bring you out? Come on, church. Let's praise God today, knowing that God is faithful and God is true, and what worked in this day that I'm reading about will work in today. It said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. I like that. When the church was back praying for Peter, the Bible says an angel came in, and when the angel came in that dark dungeon, a light came in with him. I believe as that angel came in, the light also came in. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Oh, can't any chains, can't any doors keep out the angels of God? Can't any chains, can't any cells, can't anything keep the light from coming in when somebody's praying? I'm telling you, the Bible says that the angel shook him and told him to get up, and smote him on the side and said, "Get up, it's time to get up." And that's what the Lord is saying to you and me. Hey, it's time to get up. It's time for deliverance. I'm not through with you yet. It's not time for you to come home. I'm talking to some preachers. You got a wonderful gift and anointing to preach. But let me tell you, I don't care how good you can preach. I don't care how good you can play that guitar. I don't care how good you can play that banjo or whatever you want to play, or piano, or how great you can sing. If you're not faithful, your talent is of no value. If you're not faithful to God, your talent is doing no good. Your anointing is doing no good. If you don't get yourself up where God can use you, we got to be faithful to do what God has called us to do till the very end, and use your talent. My heart grieves when I see people lay out of church for any reason. And I am sick unto death of these people in churches that are always offended. No matter what you say or do, nothing ever pleases them. They'll hop in church and stay for a few months or weeks or whatever, and then somebody will hurt their feelings, and they're trotting off somewhere else, going to another church. Let me tell you, if you leave a church, you better leave because God's moving you to something else, and not because you offended and your feelings have been hurt. If you're always offended, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You're full of pride. Because when you're prideful, you always got your feelings out. And anybody says anything to you crossways, you get hurt and you run off and you talk about other people. But when you know how to pray and you know how to hold on to God, you know God can turn around any situation. And the angel said to him, gird thyself up and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. This was so magnificent. Peter thought he was dreaming. He thought he was having a dream that an angel came in. And then I want you to see down in verse 10, this is so good. It said, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth unto them and on its own accord. And they went out and passed through one street and forthwith, and the angel departed from him. And then Peter knew that God had sent an angel and delivered him. He passed him through the first ward. He come through the second ward. Let me tell you, there were doors on the first ward, and there were guards on the first ward. But when God got ready for Peter to get out of the chains fell off of him, come through the first ward, the guards had no hold on him. They couldn't stop him. The door couldn't stop him. When they come through the second, it couldn't stop him. And when they come to the iron gate opened on itself. Oh, hallelujah. I just wish in this studio, this small studio I had shut room, I'd have to quit talking to you and preaching to you right now and just get away and just do some shouting. Because let me tell you, I've been in places that looked like, oh, this would never happen. Things were all against me. And it looked like I had come to my end. And all of a sudden, doors began to open up. All of a sudden, chains began to fall off. All of a sudden, the light come in. And I could see where I was going. All of a sudden, the iron gates began to open. And I was brought out to freedom. And I'm telling you, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. And I'm telling you, I don't care what's in your life, the same one that set Peter free, the same one that set me free, the same one that set Legion free, will set you free as well. We need to learn how to pray. And he went back to the church, and it was such a magnificent miracle. The church had to shake herself to realize that God had heard their prayer. And I'm telling you, church, it's good to have programs. It's good to have socials. But the number one thing in your church, you need to put the altar back in your church. You need to teach your people how to go to the altar and get on the knees. And you need to learn. You need to get back. And you need to know how to pray. Let me tell you, oh, Peter, when he prayed, things happened. And when the church prayed for him, it happened. How about Paul and Silas when they were in the dungeon? They prayed and God sent a shaking in and delivered them. When Jehoshaphat was faced with many armies coming down on him, he said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And he prayed and God caused ambushments to be set against the enemy, and God gave him a complete deliverance. Why? Because the king prayed over a nation. The same thing will happen in America if we'll learn how to pray. And Hezekiah, I remember him. The prophet had already come in and told him he was going to die and not live. But he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And then before Isaiah could get to the inner court, God had him turn around and say, go back and tell Hezekiah, I've heard his cry. I've heard his plea. And I'm going to add 15 years to his life. I'm telling you what God did for them, he'll do for you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, availeth much. You've got to get in your prayer closet and you got to learn how to pray. How about Job? Everything had turned against him. All the trials and things that he went through. The death of his children. Lost his finances. Lost this and lost that. But when he prayed, the Bible says when he prayed, God turned the captivity of Job. And God began to bring in and replenish and double what he had lost. And I'm telling you today, what worked for Job will work for you. You don't need to be always talking about how bad things are, and I'm not saying not to get people to pray for you, but you need to keep your eyes on Jesus and take that petition to him, and know that when you pray, things are going to happen. You remember when David come back and his men had been on a march and they came back and the Amalekites had come in and taken away their wives and their children and their possessions. Oh, but David got away and he prayed. Even his own army turned against him, but he got away and he prayed and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he said, Lord, what should I do? Should I go after him? Should I pursue? Should we stay? What should we do? And the Lord, when he prayed and he encouraged himself in the Lord told him, go after him and you go recover all. And let me tell you, not only did he recover all, but he got extra with it. He took what the enemy had. I'm telling you, no matter how bad the situation may look, no matter how hard it may seem, no matter how troubled you may be, if you'll just get away somewhere and pray. Steal away and pray. Steal away and pray. Somebody's praying. Somebody's calling on God. God will turn the tide. If you steal away and pray, God will send the rain and the Holy Ghost rain, the latter rain, the revival rain. God will rain healing down on you. It's a gift. We need to receive it. We need to thank you for it. We need to praise him for it. And know that if nothing is impossible with our God. And when we pray, we need to leave it with God and let God handle it and let God bring deliverance and thank him and praise him for it. Can you praise God today? Can you take the time to pray? When you pray, things happen. When you pray, the prayer of faith. When you pray, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman availeth much. When we pray, things happen. When we pray, you know, you've tried everything else. Why don't you? You say, I don't know how to pray. Well, you just talk to the Lord like you would anyone else. Say, Lord, help me. You know, he hears your prayer. He knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. Why don't you try him today? Give it to God. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to pray. And if you have a prayer request and you say, Lonnie, I want you to help me to pray, write me and I promise I'll pray for you. Visit me on my website, truckingforjesus.org. And if this broadcast has been any kind of blessing to you, write me a note and let me know. That encourages me. And if God lays on your heart to help any in any way financially for this broadcast, you can do that as well. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to bring you the word. I'm grateful to be able to share Jesus with you today and tell you that prayer changes things. A little talk with Jesus will make it right. A little talk with Jesus will turn the tide. Learn how to pray. Pray, start praying today, and you'll see a change in your life. Thank you for listening to the broadcast, and God bless you.